for the adult King's kids. And let me just say this. I want to encourage you to memorize Scripture. That's why we're doing this. In fact, I want to encourage you to memorize all the Beatitudes. Each week we've been going over one of the Beatitudes as we started on the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll go back and review them for a little bit. But I know kids are used to getting a treat, being in a contest to memorize. A thought just came to my mind as we were actually praying tonight. I have never memorized a verse in my life to win a prize. That's crazy, isn't it? The kids get a memory verse and they get a little piece of cake. I saw the kids up there getting a memory verse, and I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. I'd never been to a youth camp till I was a pastor. And sometimes I'm afraid that our young people, they get into competition and they memorize verses and they have no idea what they're doing other than winning a competition. Kids, especially that have grown up in church, kids, look up here, you need to memorize verses just to memorize verses. And that's why we memorize Scripture. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But the Beatitudes we've talked about, and of course, we're taking the high road to the mountaintop. And if you say the memory verse, and these memory verses are easy if you say them one at a time, you get 2 points, and you're getting rewards for saying the memory verses. Turn in your handout at the end of the night or next week, you get 1 point. Turn that into my secretary, Mrs. Fritz, the pastor. Pastor Carol. That's her email. No. This is her password of some things, I think. All right. Well, let's see. Our memory verse that we've talked about already. Blessed are the... Let's read it or quote it together, starting in verse number 3 and all the way down through verse number 6. Now, verse number 6 is your verse for tonight. Matthew 5, verses 3 through 6. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, 3 through 6. I'm going to say what the reference is here. Now, as we've started in the Sermon on the Mount, of course, we're just on point number one still. And just by way of review, the Christian's spirit is Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. And we define beatitude. And the word blessed means, let me just see how we do for review here. The word blessed means what? Happy. And more than the world's happiness, joy. In fact, these things that Jesus says will be a blessing to you, a source of blessing, happiness, and joy to you, is exactly the opposite of everything the natural man or the world thinks. And the first thing he talks about is to be poor in spirit. Now, this is a sincere spirit of humility, total dependence on God and His unmerited grace. Sometimes when I talk about self-esteem, someone says, well, you must have very low self-esteem. And I say, thank you, I'm working on it. I hope I do have low self-esteem, because I want to have high Jesus esteem and high others esteem and high self-acceptance, but I have no room for self-esteem. I don't accept what God says I am, and that's a sinner saved by His grace. Amen? I don't esteem myself, and the Bible says I don't esteem others. And then to be poor in spirit. What's it mean to be poor in spirit? To mourn is an outward expression of inward brokenness. And emphasizes an outward expression. And we talk about repentance. Repentance starts with brokenness. The meek we talked about last week. Who can tell me what I gave you for a definition for meekness? What does it mean to be meek? Remember? You already turned in your paper? Or have you got your paper? What did I say what meekness is? Is it weakness? Strong what? Strong submission. Strong enough to be in control of our spirit. That's what meekness is. When you want to punch somebody out, what you put your hand in your pocket. I could clean his clock, but I'm going to submit. And by the way, Jesus demonstrated that. He could have called 10,000 angels, the song says, and destroyed the world and set them free, but he willingly went to the cross. That's meekness. Tonight, and I've got a whole list of verses. In fact, I kept whittling this down, and I'm not sure if we're going to get through all these verses. I'll try my best to get through all the verses and to look at some things tonight. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we're talking about the hungry tonight. Hunger for righteousness. What's it mean to hunger for righteousness? And I liken it to this. Hungering for the Word of God. Have a hunger for the Word of God. Have a desire to read, to study, to memorize, to meditate on the Word of God. And I said already that I didn't learn any verses as a kid in order to win a contest. I didn't get a candy bar, a piece of candy, or a piece of bubble gum, or anything for saying a memory verse. I don't remember ever in my life getting something like that. We do that with kids all the time, and a lot of you kids grew up doing that. But the verses I memorized, I just did them because I love Jesus. And I want to know His Word. And I want to walk with Him. And it's sad that a lot of people grow up in church and they've said all the memory verses to win a contest, but they've never once memorized a verse just because, hey, that's a good verse, I should memorize it. Well, my Sunday school teacher said it. No, forget about whatever he told you. Memorize a verse because you ought to memorize it. In fact, memorize a chapter because you ought to memorize it. You'd be amazed. And I'm amazed at how few people do that because, you know, it's just... But if you have a hunger for the Word of God, you're going to do that. And the sad thing is we've created a couple of generations now that have very little hunger for the Word of God. What I do with the Bible will determine what God does with me. When I was a teenager, just about every teenager, when I was first saved, I was still, I guess, 19. I was still a teenager when I got saved. And actually, when God was working in my heart before I was saved, for a couple of years before I got saved at the age of 19, just about every time I picked up a Bible from a young person, it had that written in the front of it somewhere. What you do with this book will determine what God does with you. And there's no greater truth than that. Right there. What I do with this book, if I love the Word of God, it'll transform my life. If I don't have a strong appetite for the Word of God, I will never know His will and His full blessing on my life. We say, well, I don't really have a desire to serve God, and I've got His... Well, the heathen have the blessing of God. You have air to breathe, that's a blessing of God. You have health, that's a blessing of God. But if you want the full blessing of God, if you want to know what God's will for your life is, you've got to develop a strong appetite. That's what we're talking about, hungering for righteousness. If I lose my appetite, I'll soon grow weak and sickly and die. If I lose my appetite for the Word of God, the same is true spiritually. I look at these two guys right up here. You may not know it, but they've got an unquenchable appetite for food, don't they? This summer, Jacob, I tell you what, we stop at a store or gas, doesn't matter where we stop, he comes out with it, and he gets in the car, the first thing he does, pull a foot-long sub sandwich out of his pocket. I don't know where he puts that food. Well, I guess I do because he grows an inch every other week. But they got and teenagers are like that. That's a healthy appetite, isn't it? We ought to have a healthy appetite for the Word of God. I used to eat like that when I was a teenager. I had to put a knife to your throat when I got a little older, but. And then when I became a pastor, I had to just cut it down to one meal a day because I like to eat a big meal. I got to have an appetite for the Word of God. Job 23, verse number 12 says, I don't know what that is. You think it's this or that or back there? You think it's that? So it wouldn't matter if I went to this microphone? All right. We'll just see if it does. It gets better or worse or whatever. It doesn't bother me. Keep you awake. But Job 23:12 says, I've esteemed the words of my mouth more than what? My necessary food. I'm grateful for a Sunday school teacher that challenged me as a new Christian college-age Sunday school class. He had a little saying. He said, no Bible, no breakfast. You don't have your Bible time in the morning. You don't have time for your Bible. You don't have time for breakfast. And that made for a long day. So that was just the way he would challenge us. Get in the Bible first, before you eat. Psalm 119, verses 89 through 93. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse number 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have what? Perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. You've given me your life. My life is dependent upon the Word of God. Somebody recently going through a very difficult time and going into that battle, going into that conflict, as we pray for them, realize you know, they don't have a real strong walk with the Lord. I'm not sure how they're going to get through it. If you don't develop a strong walk with the Lord, you're going to go into a battle in your life that you're going to fall flat in your face. You need to develop a relationship and a love for God's Word or you're going to perish in your affliction. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did what? Eat them. Now that's not talking about a teenage boy, all right? I couldn't find any food, so I'm going to eat the pages. Not talking about physically eating them, but eating them up. And thy word was simply a joy and rejoicing a heart. Revelation 10:10, John says something very similar to that. The angel gave him the word from his book, and he ate it. And it was as sweet as honey as soon as he had eaten it, and his belly was bitter. The conviction of the word of God. Amos chapter 8, in verse 11 through 12. And I can't think of a verse that more fitly describes our churches today. And it's a sad commentary in our churches today. So it's like the book of Revelation talks about the age of the Laodiceans. And this is it right here. Oh, we ought to get this. Amos 8, verse 11 through 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a what? Famine in the land. We've not experienced a famine in America in our lifetime. The closest we've come, and that was before most of our lifetime, was the Great Depression. But there's coming a famine. We're actually in a famine in America right now. Not a famine of bread, nor of thirst or water, or of hearing, but of hearing the word of the Lord. For they shall want, and this is the telltale sign right here in Amos 8. I don't know if you're looking this up. I have written in front of me. And they shall wander from sea to sea. They don't know which way is up or down. Our world today doesn't know what the difference is between a male and a female. We don't know what's true and what's false. We don't know if we listen to this news station or that news station or read that newspaper or that newspaper, or listen to this preacher or that preacher. They'll wander from sea to sea and run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. You know, some of us remember, well, we read about it, when folks talked about the Bible, there was only one. In America. Amen? Well, which Bible do we believe? Well, my Bible says this. Well, my Bible says this. And talk about confusion. Everywhere we look, they're wandering to and fro, trying to find the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it because they won't look in the obvious place. Are you, as they say in our Pennsylvania Amish friends, where's Cindy at? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the Word of God? And that's my challenge tonight. Are you hungry? What does God say we're to do with the Bible? Let me look at a couple of verses. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8. You probably know. In fact, I'm going to turn to a couple of verses here because we're going to come back to them. Keep your place there. Joshua 1, you probably know what verse number 8 is, but I'm going to read a couple of verses before and after it eventually. Notice, what are we supposed to do with the Word of God? You know, I've listened to a lot of preachers myself included, twisting arms, begging, pleading with people, read the Word of God. You ever try to find in the Word of God where it says to read the Word of God? Not very many places. There's only a few places where it says you ought to read the Word of God. That's like me coming up to Garrett. He looks alive and healthy and saying, Garrett, breathe, breathe. If he's alive, he's breathing. You ever notice that? If you're alive, you're reading the Word of God. It's just a given. If you're not reading the Word of God, you're dead. Or you're dying. You're real bad sick. There's something bad. I mean, your face is turning blue. You're about to pass out if you're not reading the Word of God. That's a very bare minimum. That's just to keep you alive. But what's God say we're supposed to do with the Word of God? And here's just a start. I challenge you to go through the Bible and see all the things that God says we're supposed to do with His Word, and it might enlighten you a little bit. Joshua 1 and verse number 7, we looked at Joshua on Wednesday or Sunday night a little bit. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. There's the first thing we're to observe, to do. Make sure we do. The law which Moses thy servant commanded thee, turn not from to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, if you can quote something without reading it, what do we call that? You memorize it. You're to memorize the Word of God. But thou shalt do what? Meditate thereon. Notice he never says, God never says, Joshua, make sure you read the Bible. No. That's just a given. You make sure you obey it. You're to memorize it. You're to meditate. That thou mayest meditate therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do. There it is again. According to all that is written therein. And we'll just stop right there. Jump over to it. Keep your place here. We're going to come back to that. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. What does God say we're supposed to do? And by the way, if we understand what it is to be hungry, this is just natural. Somebody who's hungry, I mean, they'll start gnawing on the woodwork if they can't find anything else. I remember hearing stories and reading stories of folks that were, recently we talked about the Cherry Mine disaster, and they were trapped down there for days and weeks, and with no food and no water. They're literally sucking water out of the rocks down there, or off the ground, the condensation. They were eating anything. They were eating their shoe leather, anything that they could find. They would eat. If you're hungry, you're going to find something to eat. And you're going to do all you can if you're truly hungry, you're going to be digging in and begging, seeking God's Word. Do we hunger for the Word of God? Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh, happy. Remember what the word blessed means. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's something we ought to do if we are hungering for righteousness. If we're going to find the Word of God, we're going to have to separate from the heathen. And then verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Sound familiar? His delight. We're to delight. We're to rightly divide the word of truth. We're to do all kinds of things. We're to static and... Should I just turn this off, Jeff? Or if I just turn it off, you can still hear me, except Chet and Lorraine can't hear me. I don't know. What's that? Try that one. See if that helps any. Maybe it's this thing. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't know. I got too much static in me. Are we hungering for the Word of God? And then God says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are we hungering for righteousness? Or are we thirsting after righteousness? Thirst for righteousness is a thirst for God. Not only for God's Word, but for God. If we're going to find God, we're going to find Him in the Word of God. A thirst for God, the triune God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul does what? Thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There are many, many verses I have written down here, but I think I just put a couple on your paper there. Let me give you those. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, that ye may, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat ye. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is not satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God's calling out to His people. Are you thirsting? Are you hungering for the Word of God? Are you thirsting for a relationship with God? I'm afraid, just like we've got a lot of people that know a lot about their Bible, but they don't really have a relationship with the God of the Bible. We know a lot about the doctrine, theology of God, but we really don't have a relationship and a walk with God. When was the last time you just put everything aside and just said, God, I just want to spend some time talking with you. I just want to spend some time reading the Word of God and digging into the Word of God, not because it's a school assignment or because it's a verse I'm supposed to memorize. I'm just going to memorize this chapter because it spoke to me and it's transforming my life. And I have a relationship with God. I have a hunger for the Word of God and a thirst for the person of God. In John 7, verse 37 through 39, I love this passage of Scripture. And Jesus, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. There's a great story I've told many times with this, but saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believe in him should receive. The Holy Ghost is not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You come to me, I'll give you, out of your belly shall flow living waters. Okay, I was thinking I skipped something, but it's coming up later. There was a few places I had a few verses in here, and I'm making sure I didn't skip something that I put on your paper there. God says, Blessed are they that hunger after righteousness and thirst after righteousness. Hunger for the Word of God and thirst for a relationship with God and a walk with Him. If we hunger and thirst, and I think this is the best part of the verse, they shall be filled. I like that. They'll be filled to overflowing. We'll be full. We'll be satisfied. Notice it says, first of all, they shall be filled. Not they might be. Well, they might find some answers. You know, sometimes I talk to people and counsel someone and say, well, you need to, you know, get in your Bible and have a relationship with God. And they come back a week or two later and said, well, I tried that. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. It's not a pill that you pop and everything's going to get better in the morning. It's something that has to develop over time and develop a relationship with God and have that walk with Him. And too often we wait till we're so far down the road and then we think, okay, God, if I snap my fingers, if I kneel down and pray, and then I'm going to be 300 miles back and be on the right track again. It's going to take some time to go back there. It's going to take some time to get right. But God says we shall be filled if we hunger and thirst for the Word of God and for a relationship with God, we shall be filled. God will give us grace for the journey and the struggles of life, a grace that's full to overflowing. Psalm 23 talks about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my what? Cup runneth over. It runs over. Because I have a walk with you. I have a relationship with you. They shall be filled. If we develop a love for the Word of God, if we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit or with God Himself, and know what it is just to get alone with Him and have a praise and worship time, not like the world does, but just have a real relationship with Him, you will be filled. We'll be satisfied, first of all, in the Bible. This book has never failed. Amen? This book never can fail. I'm sorry, I got to stay by this microphone now. I better. This book cannot fail. Those of us who like to read science and like to read history realize that there are a lot of folks that say, well, this Bible's not true. Well, my Bible's never failed. There's no science that can discredit this book that I hold in my hand. There's no history that can discredit this book that I hold in my hand. A lot of folks have claimed to have something, but usually they just give it a little bit of time and they found out, boy, we had that wrong. But this book has never failed. It's never failed in my personal life. Remember, we'll look at again at Joshua chapter number 1. And this is a promise that God gave me when I was a young Christian, going to Bible college, struggling as a baby Christian, trying to make sense of a lot of things in my life. Joshua 1:8, the second part of this verse, for then, if we memorize and meditate and observe to do everything that's written in the Word of God, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God will make His way, our way, prosperous. You know what I discovered in my life? If I'm a student in school and struggling with grades, if I put this book, make this book the priority, and love this book, and read this book, and memorize and meditate on this book, my grades will go up. I got report cards to prove that. I'll be a better factory worker. I'll be a better busboy. Some of the jobs that I've had. I'll be a better maintenance or a cleaning crew. I'll be a better janitor. I'll be a better electrician. God says, "What? He'll make thy way prosperous." In fact, turn to Psalm chapter number 1. That's even better yet, the way He words it there. Psalm chapter number 1 says, in verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted. This is if we meditate, if we memorize Scripture and meditate, make it a priority, our number one priority. Love the Word of God more than my necessary food, as Job said. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And what's that say? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Anything I do, God will bless it if I hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. If I hunger for the Word of God, if I thirst for a relationship with Him, I'm satisfied with the book. I'm satisfied with the Bible. I find fulfillment in the Bible. I find grace overflowing in my time of need. I'm satisfied not only with the Bible, but I'm satisfied with God. I'm satisfied with God the Father, first of all. Psalm chapter number 91 is a great song. In fact, let me read this. I've got this. I've been using different Bibles just to try to help my memory. Or to confuse me, I'm not sure which. I've got this one written actually in this Bible that I pulled off the shelf this week to use. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in this blessed old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens of love from my Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide, 'tis a friend by my side, it will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I'll cling, of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. Oh, do you love the book? Are you hungering for the Word of God? Are you thirsting for a relationship with Him? In Psalm chapter number 91, oh, what a great psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And John talks about, or Jesus talked about in the Gospel of John, abiding in Christ, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You know, sometimes we talk about our prayer time as, well, I'm going to go into my prayer closet and I'm going to pray for, I keep walking away from this, forgetting that you can probably still hear me, but I don't think Chet and Lorraine can. And I'm going to go pray into my prayer closet. No, I want to dwell there all the time. I want to always be in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to always be walking with Him. He that dwelleth, I will live there full time in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I don't know if you've ever been to that place in the midnight when you're crying out to God and you seem that the whole world's turned against you and there's nothing but darkness, and you cry out to God and know that He's there and you've sensed His presence. He's become real to you. And I want you to know today that God has a real relationship with those that are hungering and thirsting for Him. Psalm 91, in the last couple of verses, I'm going to jump all the way down there, where God changes the direction. Instead of me focusing on God, He says, because He, now God's looking down at us, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He hath known my name. Not just known about me, but He has a relationship with me. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life, I will, what's that word? Satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. I'm satisfied with God the Father. I'm satisfied with Jesus. That's why I was thinking earlier in John chapter number 4, when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well. Jesus said in John chapter number 4, in the conversation with the woman at the well, in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked Him, and He would have given you living water. Down in verse number 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water, the water from the well, will thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, one of the most amazing things to me as a pastor, and what I see coming in the mail and advertisements and things, I just call them the silly fads of Christianity. Everything's got to be new. And we've got this new program that we're doing. I just got an email this week. This new program we're doing, we want you to join in with this program. And every year there's a new program, some kind of new silly fad, or the Promise Keepers or whatever. That's just, I can't even name any. I don't even pay attention. One of them that I just like, that I have no idea where they come up with it, the Orange Conference. We're having the Orange Conference. I'm going to go to the Yellow Conference or the Green Conference. But they have all these silly little things that I'm always getting them in the mail. And we got this new kind of music, this new program and this and that. And what happened to the old book? The old book works just fine to me. And the only reason the old book doesn't work is because we think we need something new. And if we got a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God and a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm satisfied with the Bible.
I'm satisfied with a relationship with God. I don't need some silly program that you're coming up with. And what a sad thing. Last week I visited Jane's sister, and her friend was there. And I think I told you about it, what she said about the church that she goes to. They said, we got about a dozen old people in this church. Those were her words. We got a dozen old people in our church. But we got this pastor that's got all these new programs that he thinks are going to work. And she said that she came to our church a couple of times. She said, I love your... When I introduced her, she said, oh, I remember you. You're the church where they sing the good old songs. And she said, this church that we go to, the pastor gets up there and sings all those songs that none of us know, and none of us could sing them if we knew them. What's wrong with the old songs? They still work. There's still something to them. But we think we need something new, and the church is dying, and he thinks he's reviving the church, and he's just buying time till everybody passes off, and he's going to go find an honest job somewhere. But the silliness of our day, because we're not satisfied with Jesus, we find the living water, we don't need all the silly little fads. And then we're satisfied with the Holy Spirit. Satisfied with the Holy Spirit, satisfied with God the Father, satisfied in Jesus, satisfied in the Holy Spirit. In John chapter number 14, let me just read a couple of verses, we'll be done. Satisfied in the Holy Spirit, John chapter number 14, this is a great message. And as a baby Christian, this and actually when I decide I'm going to memorize chapters, I'm going to memorize John 14, 15, and 16. Never did get completely through it, but I've got a lot of it memorized, bits and pieces, but I don't think I can get it. I never did get to where I could say the whole thing in one. And by the way, nobody even gave me maybe if somebody gave me a candy bar for it, I would have done it. But I was just doing it because I wanted to, because I saw, man, this is good. Where Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit. And he told his disciples in John 14 that he's leaving. And he's going to prepare a place for them. In verse number 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, but greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I can't tell you the thrill that I felt as a baby Christian realizing God lives inside of me. I know you've heard that in Sunday school all your life, but to me, and I heard it too, but I thought, you know, only if you have a cone head, and the people in the Sunday school pictures that I saw when I was a kid, and the Pope and the guys that carry the shepherd's crook and the long white robes, God lives with them. But God, no, God lives with me. He lives inside of me. I can't tell you how thrilled I was. I mean, I was on cloud nine for the next couple of weeks after I saw that truth, that God himself lives in me. He's not left us. He's not left us alone. In chapter number 15, and then God showed me the other side of that. Verse number 4, abide in me, live in my presence. You can live with me. You can walk with me. I'm there all the time. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Nothing. There's nothing I can do of any value unless it's done through the power of the grace of God working in me. And the only way I can get that is if I hunger for the Word of God and if I thirst for a relationship with God. In verse number 7 through 14 of chapter number 6, I just read it there. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. For if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. And by the way, I'm still a part of the world. Right? He says he's going to reprove the world of sin because they don't believe on me. God ever rebuke you because you don't believe in Him? I'm not talking about just believing in the salvation. How many times do we pray and then we're surprised when God answers our prayer? How many times did Jesus rebuke His disciples for not having faith, not believing on Him? And the Holy Spirit's constantly telling me, oh, why don't you just learn to believe in me? Now, I've grown a little ways in 40 years since I've been saved, but I still got a long ways to grow in believing on Him. And the Holy Spirit's constantly telling me that. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He'll guide you in the truth. If God would have told me the things when I was a young Christian that He's told me in the last couple of years, I would have just dug a hole and jumped in it. Forget it. There's no way. I can't do that. But you just follow Him one step at a time in a relationship with Him, and you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You grow in a relationship with Him. You learn to trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the more I realize how little I trust Him. The more I learn of Him, the more I realize how little I learn of Him. I'm satisfied with the Word of God, but I'm not content where I'm at. I want to keep growing in the Word of God. I'm still hungering. I'm still thirsting for the Word of God, and yet I found that the only place that can quench my thirst and can satisfy the hungering is the Word of God. And I've got to give myself to it completely. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. I'll just end with this. When I was first saved, I heard many people say this. My dad used to say it all the time because he'd see me reading my Bible and going to church, and he'd say things, well, you're so heavenly minded, you know, no earthly good, and things like that, that basically just conviction. And he talked about one of my uncles that all he does is sit in there and read his Bible. And he must have something. I found out my uncle was saved. But the world thinks it's foolishness to spend time in this book. The world thinks, what a waste of time. You're memorizing Scripture? Now, they're memorizing stupid songs that don't make a hill of beans sense and say nothing. Doo-wop, diddy-diddy, some of those great songs like that. But that says a lot, doesn't it? But memorize something that's worth memorizing, that has eternal value, that'll satisfy your hunger. But the world doesn't comprehend that. The world, well, that's foolish. What are you wasting your time with that for? Because God says that's the way to prosperity. That's the way to blessing. That's the way to joy. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we will be filled. Father,